This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Tuesday, March 6, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start, actually, though, with a lot of NFL news. The NFL, you had to franchise tag your players by yesterday, so you know who the free agents are now. You have Bounty Gate going on with the New Orleans Saints. Greg Williams no longer there. You also have 2 days away from the March 8th deadline for Jim Irsay to decide whether he's going to give Peyton Manning his $28 million. So we're going to start NFL and start mainly with Bounty Gate, as it's been called now. Greg Williams, when he was a defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints, including when they won the Super Bowl, has admitted that he would give players money or offer players money if they would take guys out of the game, not just tackle them hard, but apparently go after them to knock them out of the game. Now, you hear a lot of ex-football players saying, oh, this happens all the time. You know, maybe it was dinner, maybe it was $500, maybe it wasn't in writing, but this was more of a concerted effort. And apparently Greg Williams and the coach, Sean Payton, maybe the GM on up the ownership ladder, if you will, knew about this, and now it's come to a point where the NFL is already being sued for concussions and their alleged inability to deal with concussions over the last fill-in-the-blank 10, 20, 30, 40 years. A lot of retired players are in that one lawsuit against the NFL. And now with Bounty Gate, when the NFL is frankly getting a bad reputation for allowing players, remember when Colt McCoy got hammered this year against the Steelers and came back into the game a few plays later. It looked at the time like he didn't know where he was. The NFL is trying to maybe change the culture, but certainly put a better face on for the rest of the country, the fan base, etc. They want to look a little better, and especially because of these lawsuits that have been filed, and I think potentially future lawsuits that could be filed. So the NFL is going to come down hard on these guys. Greg Williams was in New York yesterday. He did not meet with Roger Goodell, but rather met with some NFL, quote, security, close quote, officials. And so far, people are talking about Greg Williams being suspended for a long time, maybe half a season, maybe a whole season, maybe Sean Payton, the head coach, being suspended. And also now, apparently, there have been 27 defensive players present or past on New Orleans and other teams. You know, Greg Williams also coached in Washington. He was the head coach at Buffalo for the Bills. So a lot of stuff is going to come down here, none of it good for Greg Williams and the Saints and probably Sean Payton. In terms of when this punishment is going to come out, most people think it'll be before the NFL owners' meetings, which take place on March 25th. So obviously today is March 6th. In the next week or two, you should expect some serious fines and suspensions on a number of people with the New Orleans Saints organization, former defensive coordinator Greg Williams, who now is the defensive coordinator of the St. Louis Rams, and Sean Payton, who's still the coach. And apparently a bunch of players are going to get hammered for this. You know, I think the players are going to have a decent appeal there, because what are they going to do? I mean, they're employees, they're players. For the most part, they got to do what they're told. It'll be interesting to see if it comes out that any player refused to do that. That would be interesting. But that's all probably going to come out in the next couple of weeks now. They did speak with Brett Favre, who apparently one of those games where he really got beat up by the Saints. Apparently he was a target. Kurt Warner was a target. He got knocked out with a concussion. I was asked on WFAN last night by Richard Neer if I thought there could be lawsuits arising out of just this, and I said, if Kurt Warner got a concussion and maybe retired a year early, or certainly just for the pain of having a concussion, if he could really prove that this happened, that Greg Williams said, I want you to go knock out Kurt Warner if you can, and one of those guys did knock out Kurt Warner, I think there would be a lawsuit there. So we'll have to keep our eyes open for that. Although Favre and Kurt Warner, and I don't even know if it's to their credit or not, but they both said, hey, it's football. What are you going to do? It's part of the game. What are you going to do? And a lot of old-time players are saying, well, there was always that kind of unwritten rule. You're always trying to knock a guy out of the game. So it's interesting. You know, it's the distinction between trying to tackle a guy hard, and if he gets hurt, he gets hurt, versus really going after him to hurt him and maim him. So we'll have to see where this goes, but you can expect big punishment, big penalties, suspensions, and fines for a number of people in the front office at New Orleans, coach, GM, probably the most for Greg Williams, who's now in St. Louis, and apparently up to 27 other players who were apparently involved in this kind of pay-to-injure scheme, if you will. A lot of other things happening in the NFL. Drew Brees was franchise-tagged by New Orleans. Ray Rice was franchise tagged by the Baltimore Ravens. Wes Welker was franchise tagged, couldn't come to an agreement with the New England Patriots. Dwayne Bowe was franchise tagged by the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, a few guys avoided being franchise tagged, like Arian Foster, signed for 5 years and $43 million. Robert Mathis was about to be franchised with the Colts, but they've announced there's going to be a long-term deal. They just don't, I guess it hasn't been signed yet, so they can't announce all the details. And Stevie Johnson of Buffalo, the wide receiver, signed for 5 years and $36 million. As a result of all of this, as a result of yesterday being the last day to franchise tag a guy, today you know who the free agents in the league are, and perhaps the biggest free agent is going to be Mario Williams of the Texans. They were thinking about franchise tagging him, but they said that the cap hit for them, which would have been about $23 million in the case of Mario Williams, was just too big to take. So he's now a free agent. And apparently wants to go back to Houston. You just have to see if they can work something out. Carl Nix, the very good New Orleans offensive lineman, he's a free agent. Vincent Jackson, the excellent wide receiver of the San Diego Chargers, he's a free agent. Because the Saints they couldn't work out a deal with Brees and had to franchise tag him, not just Carl Nix of New Orleans is a free agent, but Marcus Colston, who's one of the prime targets for Drew Brees, he's a free agent. Robert Meacham from New Orleans, he's also a free agent. So there's a lot going on here. Reggie Wayne of the Colts is a free agent. Will Peyton Manning go back to Indianapolis? Is he going to go back without Reggie Wayne? Hard to believe. Cedric Benson's a free agent. Cornerback Brandon Carr of the Kansas City Chiefs, he's a free agent. So you have a lot of things going on between franchise tags and now these new free agents. We'll have a better list for you in the coming days, but those are the ones that certainly jump out to me. One other thing, Randy Moss, as you know, is trying to get back into the league. He's actually in New Orleans today working out for the New Orleans Saints, and obviously it makes sense for the Saints because they tagged Brees. Colston and Meacham, two of Brees' favorite targets, are both free agents now, and certainly Moss will probably be a cheaper alternative to them. Moss out of the league last year, as you know. Now coming back, he has scored, the only guy in the history of football to score more touchdowns than Randy Moss is, of course, the great Jerry Rice. So Moss will be back in the league. He also apparently is going to visit two other teams. Those two other teams were unidentified. I thought the Patriots had an interest in Moss last year. They certainly need a deep threat. My recollection was that Moss wanted a two-year deal from the Patriots, and the Patriots only wanted to give him one, so why Moss sat out rather than accept the one is beyond me. But certainly if there is one flaw in the Patriots' unbelievable offense, it's that they didn't have a deep threat. Deion Branch was not really a deep threat. They tried to send Slater deep a couple times. He was not really a deep threat. Randy Moss, if he can still run, and by reports from Chris Carter and others, he can still run, he's the deep threat that you have. Even if you're not going to throw it to him, you send him straight down the field. You've got to send two guys with Randy Moss. So I don't know if the Patriots are one of the two unidentified teams that he's going to visit, but I think they should be. I think the Patriots should consider that, and that would, I think, solve, in my view, the only glaring omission in an offense that is just stunningly unbelievable. So that's all your news from the NFL. We'll keep following it. Again, the Peyton Manning thing. Now, there was a report today that there might be some wiggle room where maybe Manning and Irsay, you can, rather than Thursday, they might be able to extend it through the weekend. But the reality is, for both sides, they have to decide what they're going to do. It seems like the Colts are going to take Andrew Luck. So far, they haven't traded that number one pick. Certainly, they've changed their coaching staff, their GM, their president. They have a bunch of free agents. Their defense was no good. I'll have a column up later today at sportstalknetwork.com about, to me, from Peyton Manning's perspective, why would he want to be on the Indianapolis Colts? If he wants money, fine. If he wants the comfort of playing in the dome he's familiar with, fine. But right now, the Super Bowl winning list says Tom Brady 3, little brother Eli Manning 2, Peyton Manning 1. If you're as competitive a guy as Peyton Manning seems to be, I would think you want to go somewhere where you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. I don't think that's Indianapolis next year. I mean, you could put Peyton Manning on just about any team, and he might be able to will them, as great as he is, to a playoff berth. But I don't think, seriously, the Colts defense was so bad. I go into it in detail in the column that, again, will be up later today. Their defense was not good last year. It wasn't just about no Peyton Manning, no offense. Obviously, they tried Kerry Collins and Curtis Painter, and that didn't work out. But defensively, they just weren't as good as they had been in the past. Now, maybe you can say that was after they lost their first three, four, five games, that their defense kind of faded away. But I think they were 28th in the league in points allowed. You know, they gave up almost the most points in the NFL. Their defense was simply not good last year. And I'll say it again, even a healthy Peyton Manning, you drop him on that team, I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. The next question after that, of course, is where can he go to be a Super Bowl contender? You hear the most two common likely places to go are Miami and Washington. Now, Miami, presumably, he'd prefer because of the weather. But if you play in Miami, is Peyton Manning going to be able to go up to Buffalo, go up to New England, even go up to the Meadowlands to play the Jets? Is he going to be able to do that in December and play really well? Obviously, the greatest regular season quarterback ever, but 9-10 in the playoffs, 1-1 in the Super Bowl. Even when you talk about Super Bowl MVPs, he's got one, Eli has two, Brady has two. So if you put him in Miami, A, the Patriots are still dominant in that division. B, Buffalo is up and down but getting better. C, the Jets, you just don't know what you're getting. That's a tough division. If you put him on the Washington Redskins, and remember, people forget this, the Washington Redskins actually beat the Super Bowl champion Giants twice last year. They were 4-12 and beat the Super Bowl champs twice. So if you put him on Washington and look at the division they're in, I think they're still the worst team, even with Peyton Manning, in that division. You have the unbelievably talented Eagles, who are going to be better this year, the unbelievably talented Cowboys, who are up and down, you know, can win the Super Bowl, cannot make the playoffs. And, of course, you have the defending Super Bowl champion Giants, who are a very good team. And with a quarterback like Eli who can play in the cold, et cetera, et cetera, again, Peyton Manning is going to have to essentially play outdoors all year. He's going to have to go to Philly twice, once in December. He's going to have to go to the Meadowlands twice, once in December. Of course, he gets the Cowboys in the dome there, but he also plays his 8 home games in Washington, which, you know, depending on the weather, sometimes this winter was not a bad winter at all, of course, but sometimes it can be brutal end of November through December. So I'm not sure, frankly, where the team is, but I don't think the team for Peyton Manning to win his next Super Bowl is going to be in Indianapolis. In fact, I think I wrote, I don't think he's going to, if he goes to Indianapolis, he'll have a lot of money and he'll set a lot of regular season records, but I don't think there's any way he's going to win another Super Bowl in Indianapolis. That supposedly is going to come on Thursday, apparently a little wiggle room that can stretch it into the weekend. But I still think that Irsay is not going to give him the $28 million. I don't think he's going to bring him back. I think he's going to have some growing pains with Andrew Luck the first year or two anyway. So why bring back Manning to go 10-6, make the playoffs, and get knocked out in the first or second round? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. Of course, it'll be a PR nightmare if he cuts them loose. And I think that's what Peyton Manning is relying on by making Irsay go the distance here and at the end of the day either say yes or no. I guess if he says yes, Peyton Manning will be happy to take the money, play in that dome, set all kinds of regular season records, and in my opinion anyway, not win a Super Bowl. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Interesting games yesterday. Dallas going up to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. Oklahoma City 95, Mavericks 91. You know, the all-world duo of Durant and Westbrook. Westbrook, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, only shot 6 for 20. This is how good Oklahoma City is. Westbrook shoots 6 for 20. Durant shoots 6 for 18. Durant, 22.7 rebounds, 3 assists. And they still beat the Dallas Mavericks. Admittedly, Oklahoma City at home, they moved to 30-8. 22-7 rebounds for Durant. Harden off the bench, 16 points, 4 assists. And Serge Ibaka, who's come forward as kind of the big man, only 8 points but 7 rebounds. And then Kendrick Perkins, who I think the Celtics made a big mistake by trading him, but he hasn't been the force I thought he might be with Oklahoma City. Yesterday, 3 for 5 from the floor, 7 points but 14 rebounds. If Perkins gets it going, if Perkins and Ibaka give them that inside presence, then Oklahoma City absolutely is a NBA title contender. They're not going to go all the way with Westbrook and Durant as good as they are. They need guys like Ibaka and Perkins, obviously, to do the grunt work, if you will. Yesterday, the Thunder 95, Mavericks 91, Dirk Nowitzki 27 with 5 rebounds, Sean Marion 10 points, 10 rebounds, Kidd way down in scoring this year, 6 points but 5 assists and 4 rebounds, Jason Terry 18 points off the bench, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. Dallas has a good team, but I'll say it again. Lamar Odom yesterday, 24 minutes, only 6 points. He really hasn't fit in there. Dallas losing Tyson Chandler, their defensive presence, losing J.J. Barea, an impossible matchup, especially in the NBA Finals. I don't think they're going to have enough. And the interesting thing yesterday at the end of the game, down 2, Dallas going for a final play to tie, or maybe with an open 3 even get a win. The ball wound up going to Terry on the baseline. Dirk Nowitzki didn't get the ball, and with a guy like Nowitzki who can shoot over anybody and has unlimited range, you think they should probably get the ball in his hands. Terry took the final shot and missed. Quick foul. Thunder made 2 foul shots. Thunder win 95-91 over the Mavericks. The Mavericks dropped to 22-17. Oklahoma City, one of the best records in basketball, 30-8. Pacers go out to Chicago to play the Bulls. Last time they played, Indiana won. They quoted Derrick Rose as saying, "I really want to play against these guys." Rose wasn't that great, only 5 for 16, but he had 13 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds. Chicago 92, Indiana 72. And again, Indiana is one of those middle-of-the-road Eastern teams that's good, but not great. Their record is still an excellent 23-13. They don't have that superstar that I think you need, obviously, in the NBA. Granger could be that guy. He's tailed off a little, 11 points, 3 assists yesterday in 31 minutes. Hibbert, their big man, only 2 points, but 7 rebounds and 4 assists. They just don't, to me, have the firepower. George, their good point guard, 21 points, but they just don't have the firepower to really make a run in the East. The Bulls, 32-8. Lou Aldang, 20.6 rebounds, 4 assists. I mean, a very good player, obviously. Joakim Noah, a great rebounder, 9.17 rebounds, 3 assists. Boozer only 4 points, and here's the problem. Hamilton only played a minute and a half yesterday. We'll have to see if he's hurt. But the Bulls will tear through the regular season. Bulls 92, Pacers 72, the Bulls at 32-8. But again, I don't think they have that second scorer, and they need a consistent second scorer. I think they were hoping it would be Rip Hamilton, but he's been in and out of the lineup with injuries, and right now he certainly is not that guy. Another interesting game, Clippers at the Timberwolves, Minnesota 95, L.A. Clippers 94. Now, Minnesota was up 3, 2.7 seconds left. Chris Paul takes a 3, down 3, gets fouled, goes to the line for 3 foul shots. Makes the first one, makes the second one, misses the third. Minnesota 95, L.A. Clippers 94. Kevin Love, we'll give you an amazing stat in a minute, but yesterday Kevin Love, 39 points, 17 rebounds, 13 for 25 from the field, including 5 of 10 from the three-point line. Luke Ridenour with 12, Milicic with 13, Williams off the bench with 15 for Minnesota. They go above 500. Again, they're in the wrong conference. If they're in the East, they're definitely a playoff team. The Clippers, the Paul and Griffin show, Blake Griffin, 26 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. Chris Paul, 18 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. The only other guy for the Clippers in double figures was Williams off the bench with 19. Timberwolves 95, Clippers 94. Now, Kevin Love became the first player in the history of the NBA in back-to-back games to score 35 or more, get 10 or more rebounds, and hit 5 or more threes. And again, whenever you say the history of the NBA, you have to, of course, understand that back in the 50s and 60s and 70s into the 80s, there was no such thing as a three-point shot. So that's really in the last 30, 25 or 30 years or so. Kevin Love, the only guy to ever do that, back-to-back games of at least 35 points, at least 10 rebounds, and at least 5 threes. But again, when you see a guy like Kevin Love winning the three-point contest, that shows you what an unbelievable guy he is. 7 feet tall with a great touch from the outside, can also bang and rebound from the inside. That's a very good win for Minnesota, admittedly at home against a very good Clipper team. Clippers dropped to 22-14, Minnesota a game over 500. Another interesting game yesterday, Sacramento at Denver. The game goes to overtime, a similar kind of thing that happened to Chris Paul in the Clipper-Minnesota game. Aaron Aflalo gets fouled with 6/10 of a second left with Denver down 3 as he was shooting a 3. Again, why Marcus Thornton would challenge him enough to foul him is ridiculous. But Aflalo goes to the line, down 3 with 6/10 of a second left, makes all 3 to tie up the game, sends it into overtime. Ty Lawson hit a big-time 3 with about 8 seconds left, proved to be the winner. Denver 119, Sacramento 116 in overtime. Aflalo leaves all scorers with 32, Lawson with 13 assists. Marcus Thornton has 27 points for the Kings in a losing effort. Denver moves to 22-17. The Kings drop to 12-26. Denver 119, Sacramento 116. 76ers go to Milwaukee to play the Bucks. Again, Milwaukee in trouble because they have no Bogut, they have no big men. But yesterday, Brandon Jennings goes for 33, and he leads Milwaukee to a 97-93 victory over the 76ers. Jennings also leads the team with 7 assists. Lou Williams with 26 for the 76ers. The Bucks 15-23, 97. The 76ers 22-17, 93. Another game, the Dwight Howard Show, of course. Orlando goes up to Toronto to play the Raptors. Dwight Howard, man among boys. What can you say? 16 for 20 from the field. 36 points, 13 rebounds. Turkoglu with 9 assists. DeRozan had 23 for the Raptors. The Magic moved to 25-14 with a 92-88 victory over the 12-26 Raptors. A few other games, not really certainly playoff important games, but the Warriors go to Washington, bury the Wizards 120-100. Monte Ellis with 25-8 assists to lead the Warriors. For the Wizards, Young with 25, John Wall with 14 assists. Warriors 120, they move up to 15-20. Wizards 100, they drop to 8-29. Portland at home, very good team. They beat the Hornets. Portland 86, Hornets 74. Batum leads the Trailblazers in scoring with 19. Felton, their point guard, with 10 assists. Marcus Camby with 16 rebounds. The Hornets drop to 9-29, a long season for them. The Jazz go to Cleveland and beat the Cavaliers 109-100. Al Jefferson leads the Jazz in points with 25, rebounds with 13, and assists with 7. Cavaliers are led by their young star Kyrie Irving with 22 points. The Jazz 18-19, just out of the playoff picture in the West. The Cavaliers 13-23. That's it for your NBA games. Now, I want to switch to Major League Baseball. You know, this is the time of the year now where there's 10, 12, 14 exhibition games every day. We'll just give you a few highlights. Albert Pujols, his first spring training game in an Angels injury, in an Angels uniform, goes 2-for-3 against Oakland, drives in a run in his first at bat. Angels bury the A's 9-1. C.J. Wilson pitched 2 scoreless. He's also on the Angels. The Angels are going to have a bomb squad this year. So Pujols goes 2-for-3 in his first American League action. The Red Sox bury the Twins. Big Poppy hits a home run and a double. Probably the most important thing is Clay Buchholz, who had like that fractured back at the end of last year. He pitched 2 scoreless innings for the Red Sox, and for the Twins, they had a healthy Joe Mauer playing, obviously, lost season last year where he was hurt for much of the season. Tigers beat the Blue Jays 4-2. Justin Verlander, Cy Young Award winner, MVP Award winner, threw 2 scoreless for the Tigers. The Phillies buried the Yankees 9-3, but Michael Pineda had his first action for the Yankees. He gave up 1 hit in pitching 2 scoreless innings. A few other baseball notes. Andrew McCutchen officially signed his 6-year, $51 million contract with the Pirates, which, again, is interesting that the Pirates would give one of their young stars some money instead of letting him walk like it seems all the others walk, going back to Bobby Bonilla and Bobby Bonds in the early 90s. The Pirates have not been any good since the early 90s, when they did have a couple of playoff appearances. But they do lock up Andrew McCutchen. They do have A.J. Burnett, who's out with that broken orbital bone. He hurt himself. You probably saw the film by now, trying to bunt. He broke his own orbital bone. He's out 8 to 12 weeks after surgery. But the Pirates are going to be a little better this year. They played okay at the beginning of last year. And keeping McCutchen, I think he's a very good ball player. All-star outfielder last year. Did hit 23 home runs last year. And it's good to see Pittsburgh keeping one of their young stars rather than letting him go away after, you know, having him for a few years. The other thing, kind of a baseball note, Lenny Dykstra, who was on those Met teams of the late 80s and was a key on-base cog in their 1986 World Series championship, but he's been in and out of trouble the last decade or so. He was sentenced yesterday to a 3-year jail term for grand theft auto, if you can believe that. Dykstra, who's been you know, an up and down guy, a stock guy. He seemed to be living the high life. He already spent time in jail, I think, for tax evasion. Now he's going back to jail for 3 years because of a grand theft auto charge. And again, it's kind of sad to see Lenny Dykstra, 49 years old. Looks like his life is in the shambles, but he'll be going to prison for 3 years. Hopefully he's a model prisoner and can get out a little earlier, but he does have to pay his debt to society. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
At 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7. Online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
High quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Kallis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Kallis Show. We'll switch to college basketball game. College basketball now, there were four games yesterday that decided automatic bids to the NCAA tournament. The first was the Southern Conference Championship, Western Carolina at Davidson. Now, Western Carolina was 8-10 in the league. They made an unlikely run to the championship game. Obviously, they have to win that. They win that game to get into the tournament, otherwise they have no chance. There were a 500 team coming into the game. But Davidson wins. They were up by 13 with 2:47 to go, but Western Carolina comes back to tie at 78 with a few seconds left. The game goes to overtime and then to double overtime, but Davidson survives in double overtime. Davidson 93, Western Carolina 91. Western Carolina actually has Haruna Mutombo, Dikembe Mutombo's nephew. He had 20 points and 7 rebounds, but it was Davidson with the win and a well-balanced win. Coleman and Brooks both with 19 for Davidson. Cochran with 16. Cohen with 17. And Mann off the bench with 10 points. A well-balanced team, Davidson. Their coach, Bob McKillop, is a very good coach, 25-7. They get the automatic bid. They might have been able to get an at-large bid had they not won this game. But, of course, for Western Carolina, they go home 17-18, had a great run through the Southern Conference tournament, but they just get beat in the finals in double overtime to Davidson. Davidson 93. Western Carolina, 91. In the WCC final, Gonzaga and St. Mary's. St. Mary's ranked 18th in the country this year. Gonzaga, 24th in the country. Another game that went down to the final minutes and then went into overtime. In overtime, St. Mary's gets the automatic bid. St. Mary's, 78. Gonzaga, 74. Elias Harris hits a three-pointer for Gonzaga with 3.7 seconds left in regulation to tie up the game. And again, it's one of those, we talk about this from time to time. It didn't matter now that St. Mary's won the game in overtime, but St. Mary's up three. The guy defending Harris actually goes for a kind of a fake towards the basket and jumps 3 feet away from the three-point line. Harris jumps out behind the three-point line, gets a catch and an open look to tie up the game, and ties up the game. But in overtime, St. Mary's 78, Gonzaga 74. St. Mary's outscores Gonzaga 10-6 in overtime. They have a good St. Mary's has a very good point guard, Matt Dellavedova. He had 22 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. He leads St. Mary's to a 78-74 victory. Jones with 18 for St. Mary's. Page with 16. Waldo with 13. As we said, for Gonzaga, Harris, their leading scorer, with 22, including that big three, but it's not enough. Now, Gonzaga should make the tournament to 25-6 this year. They are a top 25 team, but St. Mary's gets the automatic bid. St. Mary's 27-5, 78. Gonzaga 25-6, 74. That was your second game for a automatic bid. Also yesterday, the Colonial Athletic Association Championship between Virginia Commonwealth and Drexel. Now, Virginia Commonwealth, you know their story last year. They were literally one of the last two teams selected to be in the tournament. Shaka Smart's their coach. They made an unlikely run to the Final Four, and Shaka Smart, rather than leave, decided to stay and try and build the program. Now, they did lose a lot of guys off that team last year, but they still had a very good year this year. No guarantees that the loser of this game will make the tournament, but yesterday, Virginia Commonwealth up 16 in the first half. Drexel comes back to cut it to 1. Drexel had won 19 in a row coming into the game yesterday. But VCU manages to hold on and beat Drexel. VCU 59, Drexel 56. Drexel's coach is Bruiser Flint, the former UMass coach. So they were 8-5, and they won 19 in a row. And now they lose yesterday. They're 27-6. They do have a chance to make the tournament. But again, out of the CAA, it's hard to get two teams. They might get it. VCU 59, Drexel 56, Shaka Smart rebuilds quickly. Darius Theus, the leading scorer for Virginia Commonwealth, with 16. Brandenburg off the bench. I'm sorry, Graham off the bench with 13. Daniels with 11. For Drexel, Lee was their leading scorer with 20. Virginia Commonwealth 59, Drexel 56. Virginia Commonwealth gets the automatic bid. We'll just have to see if Drexel gets in there or not. The fourth game yesterday was the MAC final. Now, number one seed Iona was upset in the MAC semifinals, so it was Fairfield against Loyola of Maryland for the automatic bid. And another very close game, Fairfield up four in the, at the half. But Fairfield at the beginning of the second half has no field goals in the first 9 minutes of the second half. They go 0 for 14 from the field and only score 1 point. Loyola Maryland, who didn't do much scoring of their own, the scoring in the second half was Loyola 22, Fairfield 14. But they do get the win, Loyola Maryland 48, Fairfield 44. Fairfield, of course, will look upon that 9 minute stretch that cost them their chance to play in the big dance. For Loyola Maryland, the Eric Etherly was their high scorer with 10 points. I mean, it gives you a sense. Now, they do play nine guys, and eight of them scored, but their high scorer had 10. For Fairfield, Sanders had 12, Olander had 11, and Barrow had 10. But Loyola Maryland gets the win. Very interesting story. Jimmy Patsos, their head coach, inherited a 1-27 team 7 years ago, and he's turned the program around. This year they have 24 wins. They go 24-8. They win the MAC. Loyola 48, Fairfield 44. For Fairfield, again, they needed to win to make the tournament. They're 19-14. They're probably hoping for an NIT invitation. But yesterday, the four winners all get automatic bids. Now there are eight teams with automatic bids. The four yesterday, St. Mary's, Davidson, Virginia Commonwealth, and Loyola Maryland. Those four teams will be going to the big dance, March Madness, which starts in about 10 days, I think. Want to switch now a couple of other miscellaneous things. Still problems off the court. Syracuse having a fantastic year, of course, ranked second in the country on the court. But they've had a very tough year off the court. You first had all these Bernie Fine allegations. You then had Boeheim sued for sticking up for Bernie Fine and calling the two kids who accused Fine of sexual abuse. He called them, Jim Boeheim called them liars, and he's being sued up in Syracuse. Now you have another scandal at Syracuse where apparently at least 10 players have tested positive for drugs at Syracuse since 2001. And despite the policies they have in effect, those kids were allowed to practice and play in games for Syracuse University anyway. Again, kind of a sad story. It's amazing. Give the team credit, not necessarily the coach, but give the team credit for staying focused all year and being and ranked second in the country. Now, the Big East tournament starts today. Of course, that's really for the bottom levels of the Big East. We'll get into the schedule and what time and where and who. But the Big East tournament starts today. Runs right through Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You know, UConn made that unbelievable run last year. I don't think it's going to happen this year for UConn, but they made that unbelievable run where they were only 9-9 in conference. They had to run the table in the Big East tournament. They did. And then, of course, they ran the table in the NCAA tournament. Of course, they did have Kemba Walker. And I don't think they have a Kemba Walker this year. But the Big East starts today. We'll get into that in a little bit. One other NBA note, Brook Lopez, the center for the Nets, and this is important because he is viewed to be a possible piece of the puzzle if they're going to try and trade with Orlando, if Orlando decides to trade Dwight Howard. Brook Lopez, a decent to good NBA big man, but he was hurt at the beginning of the season with a broken foot. Now he's going to be out for another 3 weeks as he's injured again. But apparently it's good news that he's only going to be out for 3 weeks, so we'll have to see if that's going to turn into a trade for Dwight Howard or not. in the Big East, the women's final in the Big East tournament is set as well. It's interesting because Notre Dame buried West Virginia 73-45 yesterday to make the final, and UConn buried St. John's women 74-43. Now, the St. John's women had upset UConn up at UConn earlier in the season, a stunning upset, but now it's going to be Notre Dame and UConn in the Big East final. What's interesting here is that Notre Dame has beaten UConn twice this year, and that just never happens. I mean, UConn has been the dominant Big East and even national team for the last 10 years at least, and for Notre Dame to turn the tables on them twice, but now they'll play a third time, and as you probably know, it's hard to beat somebody three times, so we'll just have to see what happens in that Big East final in the women's game, Notre Dame against UConn. One other baseball note, and Carl Crawford, who had a terrible year, signed that gigantic money deal with the Red Sox, leaving Tampa Bay last year, just had a terrible year last year. This year, he's already got some issues. He's going to be shut down this week to let his left wrist heal. It's unlikely he'll be ready to play in Detroit on opening day, April 5th, for the Red Sox. Crawford is going to be held out for 5 to 7 days because of inflammation in that wrist. He had surgery on his wrist in mid-January, and again, I'm not sure how these things work, but if he had a wrist problem last year, and he did, and he had a terrible season, I don't understand why they don't do the surgery, you know, October 15th, November 15th. They have the surgery in mid-January. Now it's really, you know, not even 2 months later, and he already needs a week of rest before the season starts. And if he's not going to be able to start April 5th, and that's a month from now, obviously he's got some real issues in his wrist, and that's a problem. Very hard to swing a baseball bat when you have a bad wrist. A few games in the NHL to talk about. Phoenix comes across to Pittsburgh to play the Penguins. What can you say about the Penguins? They're unbelievable, even without Sidney Crosby. I still don't think they're a Stanley Cup team, but other people do. Fleury, their goalie, unbelievable, makes 36 saves. Pittsburgh beats Phoenix 2-1. McCulloch scores his second goal of the year. Chris Kunitz scores his 19th for the Penguins to give him a 2-0 lead. Ray Whitney scores in the third period, his 21st of the year, to make it 2-1, but not enough for Phoenix as the Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Phoenix Coyotes 2-1. Edmonton coming down to Anaheim to play the Ducks. Anaheim 4, Edmonton 2. Edmonton, despite 36 shots on goal, gets beat. Jason Blake opens the scoring for Anaheim with his 6th of the year. Sean Hawkoff scores his 12th to tie up the game. But then Bobby Ryan scores his 25th, and Corey Perry scores his 32nd and 33rd of the year to offset a goal by Jordan Eberle of the Oilers, Eberle's 29th. Anaheim 4, Edmonton 2. One other game in the NHL last night. Buffalo goes up to Winnipeg to play the Jets. Winnipeg 3, Buffalo 1. Andrew Ladd opens the scoring for Winnipeg, his 21st of the year. Corey Tropp ties up the game for Buffalo with a second, but then Blake Wheeler scores his 15th, and Chris Thorburn scores his 4th in the third period. Winnipeg beats Buffalo, Winnipeg 3, Buffalo 1. Want to take a quick look at the NHL standings now. As we've discussed, it's amazing what the Rangers have done. They're 42-15 and 7 overtime losses for 91 points. Boston leads their division with 79, and Florida leads their division with 74. Those are the three division leaders. Then the Penguins are fourth. They have 83 points. They're the only team in the 80s. The Rangers are in the 90s. Philadelphia fifth with 79. The Devils with 77 in sixth. Ottawa 76 and 7th, Winnipeg in 8th, 72nd. Group of teams right behind Winnipeg, they're trying to get to the playoffs. The Capitals with 69, 2 games in hand on Winnipeg. Tampa Bay with 68, 2 games in hand on Winnipeg. Buffalo with 68, 1 game in hand with Winnipeg. And Toronto with 67, 2 games in hand with Winnipeg. So you really have Ottawa's got 76 points. They've got a little cushion. You really have right now five teams. You can even count the Islanders, I guess. They have 65 points. Six teams trying to get to that eighth spot, and even though Winnipeg is there now, they've played one or two more games than their five competitors. Way back to Carolina with 62 and Montreal with 60 points. Unlikely they're going to get to the playoffs. In the West, Vancouver has now come to the top, as you kind of thought they would, a very good hockey team. Vancouver 41-17 and eight overtime losses for 90 points. They have the most points in the Western Conference. St. Louis with 89 and Dallas with 75 lead their respective divisions. The Red Wings right now in fourth with 89 points. Nashville in fifth with 83. Chicago with 79 in sixth. Phoenix with 75 in seventh. And the San Jose Sharks have the last playoff spot right now with 73 points. Los Angeles and Colorado right behind them with 72, but both of them have played more games than San Jose. Calgary has also played more games with San Diego than San Jose. They have 70 points. Anaheim with 68. Minnesota in 13th with 66. And then the two teams that, frankly, are already out of it, Edmonton with 56 points, and Columbus, the worst team in hockey, with 47 points. I want to get to your TV now. A lot of college basketball games, obviously, tonight. But first, an interesting doubleheader. The Nets, with Darren Williams off his 57-point performance against the Bobcats, go down to Miami to play the Heat. That's on YES at 7:30. The Knicks are in Dallas to play the Mavericks. That's at 8:30 Eastern on MSG. Nets Heat, 7:30 Eastern on YES. And, of course, it'll be interesting to watch Jeremy Lin second time around. He obviously torched the Mavericks for 28 and 14 assists last time they played. It'll be interesting to see Dallas at home now. They'll be tougher there. The Knicks have to play Dallas tonight, San Antonio tomorrow night after losing in overtime to Boston on Sunday. Obviously a very tough schedule for them. Hockey on the NBC channel, 9 o'clock Eastern, the Wild at the Colorado Avalanche. If you get MSG2, the Rangers at the Devils in New Jersey. College basketball, a lot going on. The Big East tournament already underway. Again, not a whole lot going on here today. I don't think this is going to be like last year with UConn, but UConn already playing against DePaul at noon Eastern on ESPN2. Then St. John's and Pittsburgh, all of this in Madison Square Garden, 2 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2. 7 o'clock tonight, Seton Hall against Providence, ESPNU. And then the 9 o'clock Eastern game, Rutgers against Villanova, ESPNU, 9 o'clock Eastern. All those games, the Big East tournament in Madison Square Garden. Tonight, the Sun Belt tournament in Arkansas, North Texas against Western Kentucky, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. And the Summit League championship, 9 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2. Western Illinois plays South Dakota State. The Horizon League Championship, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Detroit plays Valparaiso. Again, a lot of games either determining or setting up the games to determine automatic bids in the NCAA tournament. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.